from a viewer's TV's perspective, I still haven't gone back and watched the game. How was that watching on TV?
Well, I mean, it was a kind of, you know, obviously we were much better than they were. I mean, and Hunter played very well, and their defense played pretty well, and it really was never in doubt. It was one of those games that we always hope we'd have on a non-conference game where it's low stress. I mean, where we're not having to worry about whether the game's in doubt or whatever, but it was obviously coach has got a lot of things to teach on with all the penalties, and we're still getting things blocked on special teams. And I listened to his press conference today and the special teams thing, and, you know, and he didn't come out and say it, but he was kind of putting it a little bit on our new rookie kickers and our punters a little bit. So it's a timing thing, it sounds like to me. But yeah, it was fun to not get stressed out about a non-conference game heading into Big 12, because this weekend is going to be a major step up in competition.
Yeah, that's for sure. Baylor is always going to be a tough one, and they won the conference last year and with the third string quarterback. If my might add, so it'll be of course Baylor has always been. It's now that Matt Rule's not the Baylor's head coach, that was obviously the rivalry between like Matt Campbell and them. So it's a little different now because I think Dave Aranda is obviously cut from the same more mold than Campbell does. Obviously, there's more, probably more of a self-respect respect there versus the last time where they were literally fighting on the field.
Yeah,
Dave Montgomery's throwing punches and.
Yeah, that was brutal. So how many years has it been since Baylor was on the dark side and had all of those problems?
It's been like almost a decade.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Time flies. Yeah, when did Brule, is that his name? Rule or whatever his name was?
Matt Rule.
When did he take over? What year was that?
I don't even remember. It was, I think that was, no, I think he... I don't know if there was one between there. I don't know if Matt Rule's right after. What's his face? That was the successful one. That was Briles.
Art Briles.
I don't know if there was one between Matt Rule and him. I'm not sure.
I think it was Rule took over. Whatever.
Yeah,
the guy's
I think
name
Rule
is.
Took over and slowly. I think
is it Rule or Brule?
Rule.
Okay.
Matt Rule. Yeah. Okay. So he's potentially. I think he's been looking. Potentially going back to the college since
because he's not liking the NFL.
Since NFL's not doing too kind to him, like most college coaches that do that. Which hopefully,
yeah.
Speaking of college coaches and Campbell's going in the ranks of coaching searches already, and the season's already
just got to shut it out. It's all social media clickbait. That's all it is. I mean, it's just trying to get somebody to click on a story that some no name writer's writing. I mean,
yeah. So it's Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. It was a fun game. I mean, Ohio is. I still. You know. We said last week. I said something about Frank Solich, who you didn't even know who he was. But he was the guy that replaced Tom Osborne at Nebraska, and then got fired, and then they brought in Bo Pelini. But then he went to Ohio, and he just retired last year. So he'd been there like 19 years, and so this new coach, is a protege of Frank Solich, and so yeah, so Ohio's got some talent, but you know, we pretty much dominated the game, so it was
like exactly what we want when we play you and I. Like the game was over pretty quickly. Like it was not like a stressful like we're all close. It was pretty obvious that he was a better team, pretty fast, and we came out. Hunter played pretty well. Hutchinson's incredible.
Yeah, I think Hunter, we get pretty. We've got a pretty high bar for Hunter to come out and say he played extremely well, but he is really good.
Yeah, really good.
And I listened to a couple Baylor podcasts today when I was driving around for work, and the Baylor guys didn't even put him in the top four in quarterbacks in the conference.
Really? I mean, our conference is pretty good. But
they were talking about how bad the quarterbacks are. That was how the conversation started.
Oh, wow.
That he's talking about how bad the quarterback play is, because they're talking about Baylor's quarterback, and they're talking about how bad the quarterback play is in the Big 12. Never mention Hunter.
So, I mean, Hunter, if you look just like from a far view, obviously the Iowa game, he didn't really do the best. Like he had a couple of slip-ups. One receiver, obviously, he had one route, wrong route, but like throwing it, picking the end zone. just from like a media's perspective, from a wide view, but like us knowing, like seeing Purdy ball come up Purdy hands versus it just comes off differently with Deckers. And
yeah, I mean, he's got the rocket for an arm.
Yeah, the receivers get the ball so much quicker. I think even Xavier Hutchinson has been
so good.
Sean Shaw is finally coming back to life.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
He's a great player, and it's nice to see him back in the fold because he is a big target. And
6'6".
He's really good, too.
And had a fantastic touchdown. But, you know, we were talking about Hunter. You know, we have a family in town that's pretty connected with Northwestern College in Orange City, which is close to West Sioux High School, which is where Hunter went to high school. And I was talking to one of their kids at one of our local games and said Hunter showed up to a baseball like clinic or camp or something and was throwing in the low 90s.
Really?
So he's legit when it comes to throwing a football. I mean, he threw a bullet to Hanukkah, I think it was, in the end zone. We're going to get it down the field if we can get, as long as we can give him time, keep him vertical, and you know, and our receivers can run the right routes. I mean, that the route with Jalen, he took it on himself on that one pick, and so that kind of shows what kind of leader he is. But he's paid his dues, and we said, you know, before the season we'd like to see him succeed because he has stuck around. He could easily just go on the transfer route, but he chose not to. And
same thing, Drill Brock's correct. Averaging 10 yards, almost 11
didn't
yards.
Play the second half.
Yeah, 11 I mean, yards carry. He's been looking great. Deion Silas came in. He's fast.
He is a bowling ball. He is not 5'8". If he's 5'8", I'm 6'8". I mean, he is not very big, but he runs like a truck. He will run over people, go by people, and he's got a great story, too. I mean, if you know his backstory, so I'm happy for him, too. I mean, he's
so fun to watch.
He looks like when he's going, his whole body's rotating because he's so little, but he is tough as nails.
Yeah, when he gets going, man, he's fast.
Yes.
Yeah, he's quick.
And Eli Sanders.
Eli Sanders is also quick. And, yeah, our running back room looks fantastic right
crazy.
Now. Fantastic right now. Plus, and this is with Cartavius Norton being out. So he's
playing this week.
He's playing this week, and I'll be really excited to see. And because I just want to see him play because he's a freak of an athlete. And our running backs, we thought we'd be sad leaving Breece, but we got some studs in the running back room right now. And like even Campbell's saying that, like, top to bottom, this is the best running back room we've had since I've been here. I mean, he probably says that every year, but way deeper, and they're all ready to play right away. Because the 2019 year where we had like Johnny Lang and Breece Hall was a freshman, we had a bunch of like trying to be the guy, next guy. And we had Kenny. Obviously, Kenny was coming off of like the Achilles injury still, and like he took a while to get his speed back. But and it's just crazy how good that Campbell is of developing a good running back room and sustaining it. And it's just such a weird thing, even as being an Iowa State fan. It's almost been, almost a decade since Campbell, Campbell's been here 7 years now?
I think so, yeah.
So, it's just strange how we're so used to, even watching Dave Montgomery on
the – oh, my God. That was so much fun watching the Packers and the Bears. I mean, I don't have a dog in either fight. But when you see Lazard get introduced and talks about Iowa State, and then David Montgomery says the same thing, and the one guy from the Bears, the Packers, says his elementary school. Yeah. That just cracks me up.
That's good.
Yeah, with Lazard getting a touchdown pass, David playing really well. You know, Bears don't look like they're very good, but and Aaron Rodgers. On side note, I listened to Aaron Rodgers on the Bill Maher podcast. Oh my God, it was funny. I mean, he kind of made the podcast circuit before the season started, and you know, don't have to agree with everything he says, but he is a very intelligent guy. He talks about guys that kind of told him that he would never play in the NFL, and one of the teachers did. And I got a lot of respect for him because, you know, he's still, even at his age, he scrambles, he'll still run it, he'll still get on block if he has to. And so I think Lazard and him have really kind of connected. And I texted you during the game. I said, they're calling him Lazard a veteran. I mean, that just is bizarre to me.
Yeah, because he was undrafted.
Right.
He was on the Jaguars for a little bit on the practice squad, and they cut him. And, man, the Packers found Lazard, and I think it's just kind of like, I think it's Dallas is really good, obviously almost borderline Hall of Famer, Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
But it's like similar to – he just hitched on to a Peyton Manning. Like, and I think that's what Lazard did perfectly with Aaron Rodgers, because as soon as they find a guy, like, that can talk to off the field and the fill room, and, like, there's, like, cordial guys, and Lazard works his butt off, obviously.
He's yes.
gotten what he was, and I think that's what the greatest quarterbacks really respect, like, blue-collar Iowans that work
right.
hard.
Right, yeah.
And get scrap everything they have, which I think that's exactly what Alan Lazard has.
It's with. A good. That's a really good comparison between Alan and Aaron Rodgers and Dallas and Peyton.
Yeah,
I mean, because either one of them, you know, Peyton is still a great quarterback without Dallas. Dallas probably does. Maybe it has the same success without Peyton. But I think Dallas, if Dallas was sitting here, he would attribute a lot to his offensive line and all of the guys around him. So, you know, it's just a professional sports thing. It really depends on the situation you get put in. It's that way in the NBA. It's that way in the Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. If you get put in the right situation with the right chemistry, then, you know, it's not like college where, you know, Hunter and Hutchinson are going to have chemistry this year, but it's over this year. Hutchinson's moving on, and Hunter will still be around. NFL, you can have that kind of chemistry for 10 years,
yeah.
12 years.
Yeah, that's why
it gets better every year.
That's why it's, like, so impressive when these, like, number one picks go to these franchises that have been just a wasteland forever. Like, LeBron goes to this Cleveland, like, you know what I mean? Like, these ones that go to the number one pick for the reason. The only team that hasn't had that done is, like, the Bears and the Lions.
Yeah.
And just Cy-Town, what do you think of it?
Like it. I'm tired of everybody complaining about the name. You know, it's...
It's not that hard.
Cy-Town is Chi-Town. That's where it's coming from.
No. Where it's coming from is, what's it? Title Town, Cy-Town.
But it's title, all. But we also call Chicago Chi-Town.
No, title. People, the title town is what we're basing it off of from Lambeau Field is what we're coming.
Right, the Packers. But they also call Chicago Chi-Town.
I know.
So I mean, who cares?
But I don't think that.
What are you going to call it? You're not. Well, I mean. Stop complaining. Everybody needs to stop complaining about the name. I mean, if it's really that big a deal, Jamie will, but he's not going to listen to Joe Blow on Twitter. He's going to listen to the Sukups and everybody else that has probably got a lot invested in this. Doesn't matter. It is sweet as heck. I keep thinking about all of the things. You know, we could have a game watch. We're in Joe Blow Stadium in Maine for the NCAA tournament, and it's a nice day in March. We could have a game watch out there. Away games for football, you know, walking into Hilton from there on a big against Kansas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be sweet. I mean, but question I've got, if, you know, my wife even said the same thing, has said that, you know, what are we going to do to replace that parking that we're going to lose? And so you're going to shut down the parking during football games, which isn't, you know, it's like, what, at the most 5 weekends out of a year? I mean, it's not that big a deal, but.
What I thought of was across the street from Hilton, there's like there's the towers of the dorms, and then there's like the.
Isn't there soccer fields?
Soccer fields, but
yeah.
Parking is more important for football, obviously. You know how it goes. Like soccer could be taken.
But they also expanded the parking on the north side of Hilton, which obviously probably has something to do with
it. I'm not saying soccer doesn't matter. I'm just saying like the way athletic department's like, okay, we'll just move that.
We don't. But the thing, last thing we need is another grass parking lot because every time it rains,
cement it and make it a parking lot.
I don't know.
But
I don't know.
That's not.
It doesn't matter.
It's a cool.
It's a cool thing, and I think it's going to be fun once it opens up. I can't imagine what they're going to charge for rent to have a bar at one of those places. I know Court Avenue's rent is absolutely insane, what those guys have to pay for rent to be able to run a bar down there. So I like this little sculpture thing with the cyclone that they've got there.
Everything about it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it was if they can reproduce that with the architecture and everything, I mean, it's the name I could care less about. I mean, really, it's going to be – it's going to be a fun place, and
it's just
unique
funny how
too.
Like we have something so awesome and great, and just and literally the littlest thing,
oh
literally the sign, the name of what it is, it's like creates chaos. I'm like, not chaos, but just like annoyance.
No, just this, just complaining about it on something to complain about on Twitter. Because if we don't have Twitter, who's complaining about it? Nobody.
No one.
I mean, it's just. Yeah, so anybody complain about them calling it Johnny's?
It's not like a great. It's Cy-Town's not it's okay. I don't really care about the name, obviously, but it's not like the it's not like egregious like the when I when we changed the Cy-Hawk Trophy. It's not like that, you know.
Or when the Big like, Ten went to the Legends and Losers brackets, whatever the heck they call it.
It's not like it's not like a public. Everyone thinks the same. Right. Like obviously, let's change it, but it's not. Yeah. It's whatever. Yeah,
it's cool.
Who cares?
I mean, it's gonna be awesome once it's done. I mean,
yeah, it's gonna be sweet. So, yeah, like, what do you think is gonna change like in the game day dynamic? Like,
you know, that's what I don't know. I mean, how's it going to change tailgating? You got people parking there to go in the bar. Are they going to let the bars be open on game day? That's a, you know, that's an X factor. I mean, is it because do they want to? Because the obviously the our new RV parking lot has already changed the tailgating dynamic. I mean, a good friend of ours, shout out to the Cy-Ride bus, is so far away from everything that it's a hike to get out there. And then the scanner on the new bridge wasn't working, so I know people were frustrated with that. But those, you know, the RV parking lot has got power out there, so they don't have to listen to generators. And but you know, we're our my parking pass that I got because I'm so cheap is on the north side of Hilton. My brother is going to walk in from the south side of Hilton, and then Gus and those guys is on the way out in the RV parking lot, so we cannot be further apart. So that's another thing that's going to change. The tailgating scene is that parking lot, which remains to be seen. It's worth the sacrifice, though. I mean, it's only a few, like I said, only a few Saturdays in the fall. And if it's, you know, I remember going to a Kansas State game in November in football, and it was 14 below. Mm-hmm. And it would have been much better to sit in one of those restaurants getting ready to go into the game versus you know, sitting in my minivan.
It's just like a perfect place for like college game day. They have a new spot. Oh. Like just anything. That's just like new
game thing. Watches. Yeah. Just, you know, you can have conference. I think they're going after the conferences crowd, like, you know, all of the different conferences that Des Moines has. We really haven't had a spot to do that. I know James H. Hilton, who was the president of Iowa State, had the Sheeman building was designed to do that. And we've kind of lost some of that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be a recruiting tool. I mean, holy crap. What other school has, I mean, it looks like a mini Power and Light district. Mm-hmm. How many other schools have that right outside of their stadium? I mean,
probably not.
We obviously compete against for in-state schools, in-state kids with Iowa City. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they don't have it. And then you go down the Oklahomas, the Texas, the Baylors. Baylors' new stadium is phenomenal, but they still can't fill it.
Yeah, it's just they're not to defend Baylor by any means, but we're playing Baylor this week. But they have such a low enrollment that there's not many alumni. And
yeah, I don't ever defend. After what Baylor did, don't ever defend them for any reason.
That was long. Yeah.
They don't care how long ago.
That was. It's just so funny how you people forget how like short memory we have. Yeah. Like, that was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we thought they were going to get the death penalty. But
so SMU got the death penalty and Baylor didn't.
Yeah, it's just
back then. I mean, SMU was one of the big shots in college football, and then when they got the recruiting violations, you know, they've been almost irrelevant ever since then. And Baylor could have easily gotten that, and nobody would have argued with it. So
yeah.
But speaking of Baylor, I mean, I listened to the podcast a podcast about Baylor today, and you know, they're not happy with their line play, and they were supposed to have two of the best lines in the country this year. They're really not happy with their quarterback play, and so but they, you know, they've got skilled position guys. They were comparing their running back to one of their past running backs, and I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but it doesn't sound like, you know, Baylor is really confident in everything that the pieces they have right now. But because, you know, they lost to BYU, and then BYU gets housed by Oregon. And so I think they're a little worried about things. But they said, you know, the end of the podcast, they said, you know, if they lose to Iowa State, you're looking at 7-5. So, you know, for Baylor, is after coming off of winning the Big 12.
That's just like Baylor's similar to us, where the margin of error is not very high. Yeah. And they obviously had a great year last year and won the Big 12 championship. And obviously have one of the most sought-out coaches in the country, Dave Aranda.
Can we talk about him for a second? I talked about him last year. He is so monotone. I mean, people give Bill Belichick crap about how unexciting his press conferences are. Listen to Dave Aranda's. I mean, I'm sure he's a fantastic human being. This is not a personal shot at him.
He probably read Bill Belichick's book or something.
Oh, my God. He's talking about, you know, I was a little worried because I heard some F-bombs in the locker room. And that isn't who we are.
He said that?
That's exactly how he said it. And so, because, you know, when they were playing Texas State or whatever, and he, so I keep wondering, you know, you guys that remember who Sam Kinison is. Is Dave Aranda a Sam Kinison where he talks really quiet and then all of a sudden he gets really wound up and starts screaming? So you guys that don't know who Sam Kinison is, look him up on YouTube. He's a comedian from the 80s and 90s. And
blow your cassette tape.
But he's, you're right, get your 8-track out. Yeah. But, you know, he's a great coach, obviously. I think he's a just listen to him, I think he's a phenomenal human being. But he talks really soft and he's talking about, you know, the offensive line needs to be a little more violent. I mean, that's kind of the way he's saying it. And so I don't know. I have a lot of respect for him because of what he did in the short time there. But
I think we're actually his favorite against Baylor.
We are.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I'm ready for Saturday already. It's 11 a.m.
It'll be
kick.
A big game. Yeah,
big game.
So it's raining the night before. So. Hopefully the day before, so hopefully will the field will be in good condition so we can get a...
Apparently the new turf, like there's a new, it's like they fixed the problems of the past, hopefully.
Yeah, so the guy, one of the guys in charge of the turf, he is from my hometown. His parents, his dad was my baseball coach in high school.
Wow.
And so he is a...
everything
leads back to Gower, right? Yeah. So yeah, he's one of the turf guys and... they do a phenomenal job. They grew the turf. You know, we're an ag school, so we got to be able to grow grass. And so not the stuff they grow in California, but the stuff they grow in Iowa. And so we got to be able to put down some good turf. And so I did see a cut that a guy had, though, Saturday that they brought up a great big chunk of it. So I'm hoping it's not too soft because I think a fast track would be good for us. But is Remsburg coming back?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he might play. I mean, Cartavius is going to play. So it would be nice to, you know, get everybody healthy and kind of see what happens.
Especially our line's been playing pretty darn good.
Yes.
They play good.
Tyler Miller's playing really good.
Played against Iowa. And I think our line's playing like the way the hype was last offseason for, like, the line so much better. And it wasn't. I think we were a year or two ahead on that one. And I think... Obviously, we were not as healthy back last year. We were very unhealthy and on the line, and that has a lot to do with success against Iowa State football is how healthy is your offensive line. And
any football team. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have an offensive line, you got a quarterback running for his life. You got a running back that can't get any yards, and so it begins and ends with the offensive line. I mean, you can even cover up a bad defensive line. I mean, we only have three defensive linemen. I mean. We have three guys with their hands down most snaps, and then we're playing a bunch of athletes. So,
and that orange kid who's a true freshman, he is Lord. Going to be a
oh
problem.
My god, yes. And how about Will McLaughlin from Harlan? Yeah, came in and played, and he is 18 years old, was playing high school football against your brother a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He looked phenomenal.
Yeah, where's Mike Rose's number? It looks like a clone version of him.
He's a lot skinnier version than Mike was when he was 18. But yeah, you know, he's got to get on the. He's going to put on a lot of weight, I'm sure. And I was so happy for him. It's kind of fun to see the Iowa kids. And you know, we've got a bunch of other guys that, you know, people haven't heard of that are playing really well right now. I just am so happy with our depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing that it's hard to get used to as an Iowa State fan. We'd never have had multiple years where we had a lot of depth. Well, obviously, we got a lot of depth at the running back room. But the depth that you don't think of is linebackers – safeties, you know, all of those guys. And how about Anthony Johnson, that pick that he got?
That's first one.
Fantastic.
I can't believe that was his first pick.
I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah.
And he got a little greedy in the second one, but I don't think he was going to give him a hard time, but
So, yeah, it's just
happy for him.
Being 3-0 for the first time since, what, 2010 or something like that?
And if we go 4-0, it's first time since 2000.
Oh, wow.
Sage Rosenfeld.
That's crazy. And then we play Kansas, who has been
averaging what's going on.
Averaging like 50 points a game.
Good God. Who do they play this weekend?
I think they play Duke. Duke's undefeated too.
Oh my gosh.
They should do that college.
Battle of the med schools.
They should do that college game day there.
It's not a basketball game.
One of the odds that Kansas and Duke are both undefeated at this time of the year.
Not very good.
When was that last time that happened?
Not very good.
Probably when Mark Mangino was still around.
I tell you what, I watched College Game Day, and Pat McAfee said, "Put your money on Kansas." So really? I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, so Kansas is legit. I haven't seen him play a snap. I was trying to watch it eating supper that night, and the bartender changed the channel, so I didn't get a chance to watch the game. But they're much better than what we thought they were going to be.
I can't remember if it was Texas Tech or Kansas, but it was Kansas was kicking a field goal to win or tie or something, and the Texas Tech blocked it and forgot to cover it, and Kansas covered it. It was the first like it was like they think they could try it again.
Okay,
and then they kicked it, and then obviously Texas Tech lost, and I was like, oh, that's sad. Or they went to overtime. I can't remember. It was just such a weird game. Like during 2020, there was a lot of weird games that happened.
Oh yeah,
it was just like
was that
weird...
the year we played Drake?
No, that was 2018. Okay. I think because that was the year where South Dakota State. The lightning strikes and right. That got that game canceled.
How about the Iowa game going to like 3 a.m. or whatever happened?
Yeah, I know that would. So do they kick the fans out, and like if you want to come back, if you set your alarm and you want to come back in the stadium and watch, could you?
Well, I get I listened to some of the Iowa guys or listened to some of the other local guys, and they're saying that the security guys said the game was canceled.
Oh,
so everybody started leaving, and then they had the SID, the sports information director, had to put a message out, said no, it's not canceled, we're delayed. Well, then the security guys went home, and so then at the end of the game, pretty much anybody could walk in. Somebody was walking their dog and came in with their dog in the stadium and was watching the end of the game. But I was listening to our friends at Undeniably Influenced today, which, you got to have a thick skin if you're going to listen to those guys because they're funny as heck, but they're a different generation than me, and I like them. They're good guys, but they were calling Spencer Pete Trash.
Yeah.
And just lighting up Farrens and all those guys, and so because they're all Hawk fans, but they did say out loud it is a Cyclone state. So
oh, really?
Got to give them credit.
It's about time.
She was going to wear the shirt tonight. Totally forgot, but
yeah.
But yeah, so it's that was a strange thing. I mean, I can't imagine waiting out that rain delay as a player. I mean, because they came out and had one play and then went back in again.
Oh my.
It was a screen pass. I think it was a screen pass. It was incomplete. And then had to go back in again. So you have to warm these kids up over and over again. And Aaron Graves from Southeast Valley got a sack as a true freshman for the Hawkeyes.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, but that was a bizarre game. But, man, I tell you what, those guys are still yelling about Spencer, too. So we don't even talk about the Hawkeyes anymore.
Yeah, breaking down the Hawkeye offense, that would take a while. Because, what are they going to do, I think Kirk's buyout's literally over $20 million.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
And so, yeah, it's not our problem to fix.
So we got Baylor this weekend. That's obviously a huge one. Going 4-0 would be massive, and beating Baylor on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, we can. And it's 11 o'clock kick. What do you think? What do you think of 11 o'clock kicks? I mean, you like them or no?
I don't know. It's just, the ones that games that like this one, I like a night game, where we can enjoy the tailgating where it's the build up. But honestly, I don't know. I think 11 o'clock kicks are better for the games where it's really cold out versus the games where it's really nice weather and we can enjoy the tailgating.
It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice Saturday. It's not going to be nice Friday, but it's going to be nice Saturday.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, I think the low is 48 Friday night. So it's going to be chilly, the tailgate on Saturday morning.
We don't get much time to tailgate. Just think about how much time we have to tailgate. Yeah. More time to tailgate with the nice weather. And obviously, I don't know, just this might be a generalizing, but I think more like Melanie's type, Michael's wife, who are borderline, I want to go to the game or not.
Right. Yeah.
They will go.
Fair weather fans, and that's not a slight to her. I mean, that's just...
She did grow up in an Iowa household, so she kind of switched over, so we got to give her credit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nebraska lost her coach again.
And they lost her D coordinator. So are they going to keep... Everybody that doesn't perform well, they're just going to keep firing them, and they're going to have to call in some of the high school coaches in Nebraska to finish out the year? Going to call Wood River High School or Kearney High School and say, hey, can we borrow your defensive coordinator?
But the Brent Bloom also... pointed this out, that Nebraska was wearing throwback uniforms when the Georgia Southern didn't have a football program and they lost.
Correct. That was a great pull by Brent Bloom.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Nebraska's a hot mess right now, but, Urban Meyer supposedly is on their radar. They had Lawrence Phillips. So, I mean, you don't remember the Lawrence Phillips thing that spent some time in the penitentiary after his time in Nebraska. So having Urban Meyer would not be out of the ordinary for them. But after, has he set out long enough to be able to live down his little antics that hit social media? I don't know. But they need something. I mean, I honestly don't think it's a better job than Iowa State right now. I mean, I don't know why anybody would leave there except for money.
And they have a lot of NIL deals, but throwing, like, Texas has shown this, like, obviously they almost beat Bama, but throwing around money is not going to equal wins. So, like, if you go to school because they have a lot of NIL money, doesn't mean that you'll get the player that will end up with wins.
Like, how many examples of that has happened already this
year? Not very many.
I mean, where these big-time schools are getting beat or having smaller schools play with them. Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these schools that are...
UTSA play with Texas.
Right. I mean, they got all of this money throwing around and they still have to play the game.
Yeah, UTSA just played with Texas, who almost beat Bama.
Yeah, right.
Like a week ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a pretty weird time for college football.
And Campbell was... I watched his press conference today or whenever it was recorded, and... You know, he just keeps kind of saying that it's kind of a weird time because people are talking about, you know, the Oklahoma State game is done when Oklahoma goes to the SEC. I mean, they've already announced that the Bedlam series is over. And he was saying it's just a strange time and everybody just needs to be patient and let it kind of shake out, because TV, Amazon, Apple TV, all of those guys are going to have a stake in all of how these TV deals come down, and we have no idea how it's going to work out. I just hope the Cy-Hawk game doesn't ever get thrown away, because I think, you know, as goofy as people get with it, it's still fun. Downtown Humboldt, we've had RV TV here many times. We still have the RV TV thing downtown with no RV TV. I mean, it's just a bunch of people from a town. Some wearing Hawkeye gear, somebody wearing Iowa State gear, and they're just having a good time because it's a hyped week. And we've had players, Brady Ross, Tyler Nielsen, Bruce Reimers, Ryan Harklaw, all of these guys from our town that played for both teams.
Dallas Clark. Derek Clark.
I mean, go down the list. We got Cade Madsen as a walk-on right now. And so you've had players on both teams. And Jameson Hines is playing for the Hawkeye. So we can get along. I mean, that's the point. I mean, we don't have to.
And also, if Iowa has now a taste of the series being away from Iowa City, because we haven't been, the last time we played in Iowa City before this game, Purdy had not taken a snap at Iowa State yet.
Yeah.
That's how, like, long it's been since. Right. So if they don't really want to play us, like, this is a taste.
That's
like,
crap.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what they keep saying for, like, you're probably.
Why would you turn down a non-conference game between a Big 12 and a Big 10 school? Take Iowa and Iowa State out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to put directional Michigan in there? I mean, sure, you're going to win like you won the Nevada game. Nevada is freaking awful. I mean, but the Iowa State game is a good test for your program. And, you know, you can call it a Super Bowl or whatever you want to call it. Both teams, when you lose that game, it's going to change your trajectory possibly of your season. However, the Hawkeyes almost won a national championship when their only loss was to us when Seneca was playing. And if you, you know, go back to the Brad Banks, Seneca Wallace years, what if we had the current system back then?
That'd be the playoff.
The Hawkeyes are in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so... That loss doesn't look as bad.
Especially when it's the beginning of the season, you have your whole season to build up the momentum again, and they don't even remember. Like, that's why, like, since the Cincinnati is the world, Iowa State is the world, Iowa's the world. Losing one game, it means way more than the Bama's the world. It's like, oh, they had an off game. It's like so media driven.
Right.
Because, like, ESPN owns the playoff. It's like they're going to put who they want in the playoff, basically. And the spreading it to 12, I think, opens up the door for teams like us to sneak in there and have a good year.
And it'll be fun. I mean, Lord, how much money are they going to make?
Yeah, so much money.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be printing it.
Imagine how long, like, they'll be kicking themselves. Or why did they wait this long?
Right. I mean, I've said that for all along. I mean, think how much money that the NCAA tournament makes for basketball, for crying out loud. How many people take that entire weekend off just to sit and watch all of these NCAA games or fly to Podunk, Maine, or Oregon to watch an NCAA tournament game, and all of the bars. I mean, think about all of the peripheral things, all of the bars that have game watches, then all of the money they make, and mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, all, this expanding the playoffs is, you know, you have to also factor in the, you know, the wear and tear on the kids by adding an extra game to it. But, you know, it's going to be a, expanding the playoffs cannot be a negative. I mean, might have a few more kids that don't decide to, you know, back out because they're going to the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That'll be fun. I mean, it'll be fun to just be
in it. I've always thought of a playoff game versus Iowa State would be bloodbath.
Do you remember, were you old enough to remember when I took you to the NIT game in Hilton?
Yeah, we lost.
And we lost to Steve. So that's the only thing. That's my only criticism about the Cy-Hawk game is I remember the 9/11 game where we played in November. Both teams played much better. When we play in September, both teams are still trying to iron out all of their little crap mm-hmm. they're dealing with, penalties or whatever, kickers, punters, whatever. And so if we played it more like the SEC rivalry weekends and made it later in the season, I think it'd be more fun because you're going to have much better play because you're going to get some of the kinks worked out.
But also,
I don't think it'll ever happen.
What you were saying about thinking about the outskirts of things, that's what probably what goes into Iowa game is the weather, like obviously.
Oh, sure.
Like the restaurants, the outside businesses can go around more in September than November when it's raining and sleeting outside.
Right.
That's why.
Put in the third week in October.
That's probably why.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Put it, I mean, because we're still going to probably have decent weather in Iowa. Put it in the second week of November.
But I just have, ice. I think I have a deep feeling in my heart that this game is not going to happen anymore. Somehow it's
going to be wrong.
Because college football is just the way things have been going. It's just not been going the way we want.
The way the fans want it.
The way
the
fans want. Yeah. And it's just like, I think it's just inevitable. Like Notre Dame, Michigan, like just there's like Texas A&M are going to play again, but they haven't played in so long now.
Right.
Like obviously just.
But there's so many schools in Texas.
I know.
I mean, we have two.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just unfortunate that we didn't merge back in the day, like in the 40s or the 20s, because like.
Then we'd be Nebraska.
We'd be Nebraska. Yeah, can you imagine our fan bases combined?
Oh, God.
We would be unbearable.
No, I mean, we don't need a Nebraska. Because there, it is kind of nice because there are people that are more sane than you and I, that meaning University of Northern Iowa, talk about you and I,
yes.
that actually will cheer for Iowa when Iowa State's down and vice versa. I don't either. But I mean, but there are people that do that because they don't really care, but they just want to cheer for Iowa.
I think most people are the state. I think most people are scumbags like us.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just cheering for the other team.
But I just but don't, my point
people
is,
people say that I never believe them. Like, oh, I cheer for both. No, you don't.
Well, I mean, you know, we have the Purple Hawks, the people that are U and I fans that are actually Iowa fans.
But because they got to be U and I fans so they can have success in the NCAA tournament.
Well, but you know, I watched a little bit of the U and I game on Saturday night, and they had three home games in the state of Iowa Saturday. Iowa State was home. I was home. U and I was home, and U and I did not have hardly anybody in the stands. I mean, that's got to hurt there. If I'm the AD at Iowa, UNI, I try everything I can to not have a home game on the same weekend that Iowa and Iowa State are playing at home.
I'd probably like own Thursday nights or something.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, just something else that's.
Because UNI, I mean, UNI is a fun program, obviously.
Because, like,
they're playing Sacramento State.
You'd be more prone to go if, like, we're going. Most people in Iowa, I feel like. Who are sports driven, like go to sports events, I'm going to my local high school on Friday. And then I go to the Iowa State game the next day.
Correct. Yeah.
So like on Thursday night, just open that up by FCS should own Thursday night.
I think. Yeah. And I'd have never seen the study on this, but if you and I's fan base has got to be probably within 90 miles of Cedar Falls. Yeah. I mean, we've got a kid, you know, playing for you and I right now too. I mean, and that's not a slight to you and I, but, you know, when you and I's playing Sacramento State, I mean, that doesn't, you know, get people overly excited about going to that game unless you have a dog in the fight. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if we have these, most of them are Iowa kids, if they're not having to compete against Iowa and Iowa State for a fan base, it's going to help their attendance.
Like, why didn't the FCS just start way earlier than the college? Like,
Like August 1st?
Like, start way earlier than everyone else. So, like, everyone has, like, a tune-up between before
that's college. That's not a bad idea.
And then, like, imagine how good the FCS schools are going to be when they play us You and
Imagine you and I. Right. We don't want to play you and I in the fifth week for you and I in the first week for us. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, obviously, but that's obviously the downside.
That's a really good idea because everybody's chomping on the bit for college football to start. Start the FCS the fourth week in November, in July.
And just like, obviously, because obviously there's probably a reason why they're not, they don't. And like gambling, then, even gambling. Just
but then you're not playing Montana as a FCS. You're not playing a Montana game in the third week in November outside in Montana.
I mean,
that's a good idea.
But
I'm no sure one nobody's going to listen to you.
No one asked me for the answers.
Yeah.
So if they do take that idea, I do.
You do take Visa and MasterCard.
Right.
So let's talk about your T-shirt. We told them, we give them a shout out.
Charlie Hustle on Twitter. They do some Iowa State Classic stuff. They do a lot of.
Yeah, get some cool shirts. Not as cool as our shirts, but they're cool.
They're really, even my mom and girlfriend were talking about how good the soft texture is.
Yeah, it's a different fabric. Yeah, but they've got the Walking Bird, and a lot of, I like the Walking Bird.
Yeah, that's my dad's. That's obviously your favorite because that's classic.
I'd like to see the Walking Bird on the side of the helmets one time, like we used to have back in the 70s.
Yeah, so
just one time.
Check them out. They're on Twitter, and they have a lot of good stuff, and send us a lot of good stuff. So.
Yeah, so send us a few shirts, kind of in a pretty little box. I mean, that's kind of cool. Yeah. So we still have shirts, too, and I got polos coming. We haven't got them here yet for if you want to wear a Sound the Siren shirt to a golf tournament next summer, but they're not here yet. But we still have plenty of the black hoodies and other T-shirts, and we actually, when I go back and rewatch the game, I'm looking for Sound the Siren shirts in the stands, and Corey Morrissey wore his on the field last year, so that was kind of cool. I haven't seen Ryan wearing his on the sidelines yet, but that's probably asking a little too much. So.
Yeah, I think he gets paid to not do that.
probably does. Yeah, it's funny. That's the fun part of our getting to know Ryan is that Ryan was sitting two rows behind me at our local high school game on Friday
and
night.
It's like thinking hours from now, thousands of people are going to be listening to his voice.
Yes. So it's kind of fun. But.
So. Yep, appreciate you guys listening, and I think we get to have a first 4-0. And
so, what's your score prediction?
I don't even know. I haven't seen Baylor play a lot. I'm never good at guessing, so I'm not even gonna try because I'm usually wrong.
So, if we score 24 points, do we win or lose?
I think our defense has been solid, and I think our secondary is way better than we think. I think Colby Reeder has been playing out of his mind.
Yes,
Gary Vaughn's been playing out of his mind. Will McDonald. Shouldn't be in college anymore, but we'll take him anyways. He's been playing out of his mind.
He's so fast.
He's so good.
Isaiah Lee is playing phenomenal.
Anthony Johnson's flourishing in his new role.
Miles Purchase, so we can go down the list. Yeah. It's hard. It'd be easier to name the people that aren't playing well because there isn't very many of them.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
whoever's blocking the guy who keeps blocking the punts.
I honestly think this. They're going to shave a half a second off of our steps on our punter, and that's fixed.
But yeah, as soon as
but he's a kid. He's 18 years old.
He has a leg on him. He can punt it, and I think he'll be a great Cyclone, and I think people will even forget about – won't even remember his block punts against Iowa because we beat him, for one.
Yeah.
And
– We wouldn't be remember. We would be remembering him if we would have lost. But he's an 18-year-old
For his
punter,
sake and our sake, thank God. We
no kidding. Amen to that. So I think if we score 24, we win.
Okay.
Yeah, I merely do. That's kind of the magic number in my mind, but I don't – Vegas doesn't call me, so
all right.
It means we can still give up 3 touchdowns and win.
All right, we can take that. I mean, I sat in your seats last time, so I appreciate that. So you'll get those 11 a.m. Yeah. I'll be back in where the blue collar workers work and the upper deck.
I've got the wife deciding to go. I'm got to go watch the Humble Wildcats go play Ballard on Friday night. Haven't been scored on yet. Ranked number one in the state right now, so it'll be kind of fun.
All right. So we really appreciate you guys listening, and go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.